Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. And my very special guest today is Gretchen Burns Bergman, who is the founder of A New Path, and that stands for Parents for Addiction Treatment and Healing. Gretchen, welcome to the show.
Thank you for inviting me to be here.
Now, Gretchen's organization has been working for years to lobby for reforms in prison sentencing and better treatment for people who are suffering from drug addiction, which, of course, that's a very large percentage of the prisoners in our jails and our prisons, and a huge cost for taxpayers as well. Gretchen, I understand that you have some exciting news today. A lot of us have already heard about Prop 47, which is sentencing reforms at the state level, but I understand there's some new changes in the federal sentencing guidelines. Tell us about that.
Well, it appears that the federal government is starting to listen to what's happening in the states, and you know, if you're aware of Proposition 47 and reducing a certain drug crimes and petty theft and that type of thing from felonies to misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. And so on state level, we're seeing these kinds of changes happening across the board. And, of course, you're aware of the marijuana laws changing in Colorado and Washington, now Oregon and
right.
Alaska.
What would be legal in Colorado could land you in jail for many years still in some other states and federal prison.
So Eric Holder has started some changes in
the Attorney General.
In the Attorney General and our federal
former
policies.
Attorney General. He just resigned.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so the new sentencing guidelines took effect in April. They changed several of the laws or the guidelines for possession of certain amounts of drugs. They reduced those. And now, as of November 1st, this has become retroactive. So people who have been serving long, draconian sentences for simple drug possession charges can now petition the federal government as of November 1st to have their cases reviewed and reduce their sentences as well, which potentially we're looking at thousands and thousands of people being able to get out of prison. Nobody will get out before November 1st of 2015.
Right, but and a judge will have to approve it, so it's not automatic.
Absolutely. So you're not going to see people who have additional charges besides the petty drug crimes. But in federal prisons, half of the people are there for drug crimes.
Wow. And a lot of those are low level. It would be somebody who had a couple of marijuana cigarettes or they were growing for personal
That's
use.
That's right. 25% just for marijuana.
Wow.
So this will kind of bring the federal government in alignment with the new thinking from, I think this is a groundswell. It's from grassroots organizations like ours.
And at the federal level, what essentially happened is when the sentencing guidelines changed for people who are sentenced as of now, you know, going mm-hmm. forward, they decided in fairness, well, let's take a look at the people who are already in prison for the same things and give them a chance to apply to have their sentences reduced. Now, in California, the voters just passed Proposition 47. And what that does is it reduces the penalties from a felony to a misdemeanor for certain low-level drug crimes.
Six low-level, yes.
For other nonviolent petty
mm-hmm.
crimes.
Yeah.
As well. And I guess for those who were wondering, well, wait a minute, aren't these people going to come out and be likely to reoffend? I understand that a lot of the money that will be saved from incarcerating these folks is being put into drug rehabilitation programs as well as into public schools. They always say education is good prevention against crime. If you keep kids in school, they're less apt to be criminals.
We've been very excited about Proposition 47 because we've seen so many people who basically are addicted to drugs who have been caught up with felonies, which can have lifelong consequences if you're convicted of a drug crime where you can't get housing, you can't get education, you can't get employment. You know, so a lot of these drug crimes, and there are six petty crimes, but they're all kind of drug related. It's possession, it can be petty theft, those kinds of things. That will be reduced to a misdemeanor, and so they won't have this real challenge of actually reassimilating into society. And the exciting thing for us is that there's so much money will be saved on incarceration that will go now into education and treatment for both mental illness and an addictive illness.
Yeah, let's talk about the treatment, because I understand there's a lot of issues, even for somebody who wants to get treatment, with the way our healthcare system is and lack of insurance and the high cost. It can be difficult. You've had experience with this in your own family, I understand. Tell us, how hard is it to get treatment?
It's very difficult, and we've been at this for 15 years, and I started because my older son was arrested at 20 for marijuana possession, and he had gone through the jail, which turned into prison, which, you know, and so there's 10 years that his life was interrupted because of, the criminal justice
system.
And
as a sidelight on that, I was shocked when you told me that in prison, you think you go into prison for a drug offense and maybe somebody's going to go clean because they have no other choice. And in fact, you've told me that what happened when he was behind bars?
That whole tough on drugs, it backfired, and it really, really destroyed a lot of lives. My son says it was easier for him to get drugs behind bars than it was in society. He actually learned to inject heroin behind bars.
That is just shocking.
He learned a lot about violence and about discrimination behind bars, the kinds of things that you would never want. And my son's a gentle soul.
Yeah.
So he, you really have to learn how to watch your back, walk the walk, talk the talk. The exact opposite of what somebody needs as they're developing a full-blown addictive illness.
How is he doing today?
He's doing very well, thank you. He is now a drug and alcohol counselor. He's in long-term recovery, which for him means over 10 years of recovery.
So he's a success story. He's an example of what can happen if we get people help.
When they finally get the help, there wasn't treatment behind bars. I like to tell people, in those days, Donovan State Prison had 4,500 people, and they had treatment for 10% of them, and you had to petition to get in. It was very, very difficult.
So the money from Prop 47, the portion of it that's going to go for drug treatment and rehab, who will qualify for that? Is it based on low income or what? Do you know?
Well, the devil's in the details here. Again, we're very excited, and I'll share that my other son is currently in rehab, and I went through this again personally, trying to find detox that would take him, and then after detox, a 5-day detox is almost a joke for someone who's a long-time opiate user. So transitioning from that into a rehab, into a sober living, the kind of continuum of care that we understand is the correct way to deal with this very complicated disease is not happening, and people are not able to access. And I saw it once again firsthand with trying to get my son back into treatment recently.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have fabulous insurance and you have a lot of money, there simply isn't a way to get the treatment. The waiting lists in San Diego County are 3 weeks to 3 months just to get into a detox. So it's insane. And we're losing people. We have people dying every 3 days in San Diego County of an opiate overdose.
Goodness. Well, we certainly hope that this will help to save some of these people and help to turn some lives around, Gretchen. Now, I understand that you have some seminars that PATH, or Parents for Addiction Treatment and Healing, are going to be offering to the public. Can you tell us about those?
We do what we call 101 seminars and try to deal with different aspects of the war on drugs and enlightening people as to the true nature of addictive illness. This one that we have this Thursday is called Mothers and Addictive Illness, and it really addresses the separation of families because of addictive illness and the difficulties that maybe a young mother has rebonding with her child, and the fact that this seems to go generation after generation. It's become sort of normal to be separated from a parent because of drug use rather than finding ways to have them recover together. It's really addressing a very complicated issue.
I see you have some big names coming in here or from prominent institutions. Hayes Lindemann, who is the UCSD Co-Occurring Disorders Program representative. Kelly Gebbie is a mother in recovery and a case manager at Rachel's Women's Center. You have Leah Cotton, who's a new PATH board member and mother in recovery. And then you have Lindsay Kramer, who's with Sharp McDonald Drug and Alcohol Program. And Sheila Gans, who's a director and a documentary film producer.
And we're showing her documentary, which I had the privilege of seeing, and it really addresses this in a very poignant way.
So, and that's called On Life's Terms, Mothers in Recovery.
Exactly. So we're happy that she's coming down from the Bay Area to be here with us Thursday night. So if you can come, just call us at 619-670-1184 and you can come to that.
Very good. And that's this Thursday, November 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. It will be held at the Women's Museum of California, which is down at Liberty Station, 2730 Historic Decatur Road in Barracks 16. And if you didn't catch all of that, where can people get more information about A New Path, and is this information online at your site, Gretchen?
Yes, we have two sites, actually. It's www.anewpathsite.org, or we have a campaign that's a national campaign now where mothers are taking charge to end the criminalization and stigmatization of people who are addicted to drugs. And
we should note that A New Path, that you started this right here in Spring Valley in East County.
We did, and it's grown now to 22 states.
Wow,
and
amazing.
We have, you know, national projects, and we're working this year on trying to forge relationships across borders too with Canada and with Mexico, because we're all, mothers and parents are feeling the damage of drug policies that were punitive rather than therapeutic, and
there you go.
To change.
So the two sites again, there's A New Path.
Or www.momsunited.net.
Very good.
Easier,
and that's the national
member.
Yeah,
and they both connect to one another. So if you get on either site, you'll be taken to the other.
Very good. Do you have any final words for us today, Gretchen?
Yes, we're currently working on a campaign that we feel is really important. 105 people are dying of an accidental opiate overdose every day in the United States. So we have an Ask Mom How to Save a Life campaign, which is teaching people about naloxone. We now have two new laws in California that make naloxone more accessible, and it can quickly reverse an opiate overdose.
Yeah, we did a story on that. Actually, the San Diego Sheriff's Department was the first in California to try this as a pilot program, where they allowed the deputies to be trained to administer this even before paramedics arrived on scene, and they actually recently saved at least one life with it.
They've saved seven lives so far, and we started our program, which is a parent-to-parent program under a standing order by a physician under the new laws that started in January 2014. Organizations like ours can do overdose prevention training and naloxone distribution under a standing order by a physician. And so A New Path actually started before the sheriff's department did, doing monthly trainings, parent-to-parent, peer-to-peer trainings and distribution of naloxone. And so we have these monthly classes. If you have a child like who has addictive illness like I do, I think it's really important that I have medicine, this naloxone, that can reduce an opiate overdose, because we can't get them into recovery if they're dead. So the most important thing is to keep them alive.
Absolutely.
For the cure, if you will. So you're welcome to come to these trainings. They're free of charge. And our next one is next Tuesday, the 18th, I want to say.
Very good. Gretchen, I want to thank you very much for joining us here today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ.
Thank you.